helicopter crashed onto a maintenance yard just feet from the golf course, slamming into two vehicles and then bursting into flames. Golf course employees rushed in to help.
Reporter Alice Martinez with Fox affiliate KKFX. All three people on board the chopper are expected to survive. There's an Aunt Jemima recall for the popular brand's frozen pancakes.
Pinnacle Foods has issued a voluntary recall for all Best Buy dates for their Aunt Jemima frozen pancakes, frozen waffles, and frozen French toast slices. The cause? There's potential for listeria contamination. Now, there have been no cases reported just yet. However, if you're planning a weekend breakfast with some Aunt Jemima frozen items, think again. The products are also being removed from shelves all across the country. It only affects the Aunt Jemima frozen foods. Pancake mixes and syrups are not included in the recall. Jim McKay, Fox News.
Today's Kentucky Derby features no clear favorite. The 20-horse field lacks a dominant runner. Always Dreaming is the 4-1 pre-race choice. Post time at 6:34 p.m. Eastern. I'm Joe Chiro, Fox News Radio.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It is another Saturday in El Paso, and it's a day of history as always. Melissa, how are you?
I'm fine. It's a mic check. We're checking mics.
We did that already.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah, you're on the radio
now. I am here.
Now.
I can hear myself.
Surprise, surprise, Melissa Sargent, and we're having another history day in El Paso as we always do on Saturdays.
Yes.
17 years and rolling for me. I think Leon had another 3 years ahead of that. So this is the time and place to do history in El Paso. And we're glad people find us for that. And if you're new to the subject, come in and say hey to us. We do El Paso history for a number of reasons. One is I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just personally.
Everybody we talk to seems always finds it interesting when you talk to them.
But most of the people don't know about it because they grew up in El Paso where it's not taught in the schools unless you go to a private school. So there's that to contend with, and we'll talk more about that in detail at times. But that's, to me, the problem that we got here to fix. And what we're doing that at every Saturday, we try to fix it. And we come along and say Texas history begins in El Paso.
That's right.
And I got some people I want to ask their opinion about that. Because they're on the phone and going to talk to us on the radio today. And also, we got us, where are we? That's on 690 AM. You got us normal.
That's right. Or you can listen to us on KTSMradio.com. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world by getting the iHeartRadio app and take us with you if you go to Galveston. Or if you go to New York and you go to Afghanistan, you can take us anywhere you go as long as you've got an internet app.
Be careful doing that.
Yeah.
But as we move through the day, our trivia questions are going to happen. Oh, we have relevant trivia questions today, do we not?
Yes, we do. We
giving
have
away
relevant,
DVDs.
Yes. We're going to be giving away $20 in food coupons to Pepe's and Cañutillo, the best New Mexican food in the world. And then we got a ton of DVDs that I can't see, but my glasses.
Well, I didn't bring all of them in, but there's quite a few there. And if you want to see what the full list is at ephistory.com, does have that list. And by the way, ephistory.com is also the location where we put out the podcast of this radio show. So by next week, you'll hear what we're doing today. And what it is that we're doing today... You haven't figured that out over there, have you? We've got the ghost stories over there. We've got Tom Lee's. Is Tom Lee's in there?
Yeah, Tom Lee's. Gunfights of the Old West, which is my favorite. It's getting old. Let's see. We have Celebration of Our Cultures. We've got Rosa Guerrero's 80th birthday. We've got the Mexican Revolution.
That's
Dad
different.
Dad and Duranguito last night running around in the old Mexican Revolution area.
Did you know?
That was fun. It really was the Cinco de Mayo Festival. A lot of fun taking a tour with Max and Melissa and everybody down there.
They'll be in second hour, by the way. I'll tell you now who's on the first hour. It's a young fellow by the name of J.P. Bryan, and he is on the radio with us. He's on the phone. Good morning, J.P. How's it going? 3, 2, 1, J.P. on the radio. Sir, is Sergio in there on the controls? We need to make sure that JP is on the air because let me just tell you who JP Bryan is. We're presuming he's there. We can't quite hear him. But JP Bryan is a fellow who actually understands Texas history from the other side of the state.
Yes.
His family is part of the crowd that grew up from the Stephen F. Austin era. And the idea of history in El Paso is something that has intrigued him. So we are in need of putting JP on the radio. I think he's on hold there, but we just can't quite get him on the air. Let's try this one more time. Put JP here. Put this one here, and JP there. Are you there? No, you're not.
Well, right. The interesting thing is he loves our history.
Oh, that's just it. And the history that we're talking about today is primarily the historic buildings. Because
mm-hmm.
one thing that we know about JP Bryan is that he has an interest in historic things, including the fact that he was collecting memorabilia about all things Texas. Shelley, if you don't mind, go find him, if you don't mind. Go find Sergio. But the idea of the history in El Paso is something that has intrigued him because he has looked at buildings all across the state.
Yeah.
The Gage Hotel in Marfa.
Which he owns and he refurbished.
And he bought it because it looked like it needed to be fixed. And that's,
well,
I think.
He was just looking for a place out in Marathon, Texas.
Is it Marathon?
Marathon. I was taught how to speak Texan in Marathon, Texas because I actually stayed there years ago before I even knew about the Trost architecture and such. And it was an exciting little hotel.
What we're finding out is that a lot of people did not know about the Trost architecture, which landed on El Paso
yeah.
with an architectural firm, Trost and Trost. And the architectural firm was Henry Trost and one of his brothers. And they sort of single-handedly took El Paso on as a canvas. And the idea was to put historic buildings of their own design in locations. And about that time, there were businessmen all over the place who were very interested in our history.
That's
and
right.
So they let these guys design it. JP, good morning. Do we have JP here with us? Sergio, I need JP on the air here. Tell me where he is.
JP, where are you?
He's probably frustrated on the other end of this, not
he's
hearing
going,
it.
Sergio,
you got him online too now. Okay, hold on here, folks. Let's go get off of that one. You need to put that on hold, Shelley. And now we got JP.
Yes, I'm right here.
Sorry
about that, dude.
Good morning, JP.
The wonders of technology, sir. It's only a phone call. But thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Did you hear what we were saying about you? If not, your ears should have been ringing.
Well, I did. I heard the young part. And, so I knew we'd started off on sort of thin ice here with that one. But, no, it's a pleasure to be here, and I didn't hear anything else after that.
Sorry about the phone business, but we got you now, so this will work out. The thing about you, J.P. Bryan, is that you're one of those people from eastern part of the state who has sort of figured out who we are over here in the western part of the state, and I want to thank you for looking into us, but you did this because you were looking at, in addition to the museum, which we did explain briefly there, you were looking at how Texas was settled across the state.
Sure.
And that's how you got into your museum. And also, you have a lot of ideas and attitudes like I do about El Paso history. So let's just turn it over to you. Go where you need to. We need to know about your museum and also about your thinking on El Paso.
Certainly. Well, first, let's start off with the museum and end up on that, which will be of sure great interest to all your listeners, and that's El Paso and its importance. And you'll understand our affections for El Paso better when you appreciate that our museum, where as it's in Galveston, is about the settlement of the western part of the United States. And obviously, El Paso and that part of Texas played an important role in that great historic adventure. As a matter of fact, the first Europeans to set foot on the western part of the United States were washed ashore in Galveston in 1528, some 70 years before Onati got to El Paso. But, of course, he was a Spaniard and is all part of that historical conquest and efforts at discovery that the Spanish sponsored from the time Cabeza de Vaca washed ashore on Galveston and then went to Mexico City and told everyone about the wonders of and riches of the West.
So you're going to argue with me when I say Texas history begins in El Paso, aren't you?
Well, it just depends on who's fostering the beginnings of it.
If
you go back to the Native Americans, they were clearly a dominant factor in the western part of the United States, and certainly it was a big impediment to the Spanish ability to move north across the river until about 1827. or thereabouts when there was success in that endeavor.
Well, as you have looked into our history in our part of Texas, you have also come across a young fellow by the name of Jose Cisneros and his work. Tell us about what you've done with that.
Well, I was intrigued years ago with sort of the tricolors of Carl Herzog and Tom Lee and Jose Cisneros, three incredibly gifted individuals as artists and book publishers and book designers. They all collaborated in wonderful fashion, not always on the same projects, but certainly always in support of each other. And they have really left a lasting impression on people who know their work and, of course, know of their residence there in the Pass of the North. And they formed a remarkable union that all people from El Paso should be incredibly proud of.
The history of El Paso has intrigued you in its recent days, I think primarily because of our architecture. I want to thank you, first of all, for getting involved at all in our history. Thank you. Because it needs to be done. It's something that I think the rest of Texas really should understand. And I think we've been overlooked here in this part of the state as to what happened in the history. And your look at, tell us about your take on who we are as El Paso and our architectural patrimony, I think they call it.
Sure. Well, let's try to sort of break it down a little bit. You've got, first of all, a wonderful and, by the way, currently robust artistic community, I think in large measure sponsored by the likes of Tom Lee and Jose, because they were very outstanding at the work that they did and how they represented in the major body of their work the entire landscape, and I think got inspiration from the country in which they resided. Interesting thing about Jose, you know, he's colorblind and was told at age 12 that he should give up any hopes of being an artist. He should be a bricklayer. But he just simply put the names of the colors on his pens and went to work and obviously made a real name for himself. But El Paso, you know, I like to say is on the tip of the tongue of Texas, but it's certainly very much Texas, and it is the first state in the union or the first area where you come in connection with a desert and the famous Chihuahuan Desert, which hopscotches across that part of the world. And I think it's the desert and the mountains that really have shaped in large measure people's destiny in that area and also the inspiration that they've gained from it. And it is also very prominent in the architecture you see. And no better example of architectural renderings by a single architect than you have in the city of El Paso, the creation of Henry Troost. Troost designed over 150 buildings in the city of El Paso itself, over 650 across the desert southwest. And he understood the necessity of dealing in a dry desert environment in the way he shaped his architectural renderings. But he could give you something in any architectural design you wanted, whether it be something classical or something more modern like prairie. And he didn't just give you a building that was a okay representation of that. He gave you among the finest.
So you're saying he built to his environment, or to the environment is what, you know, to with the concrete and to the heat and a lot of considerations that a lot of people didn't get until a lot later on.
Far later on. And, of course, as I know you understand, but probably maybe a lot of El Paso's don't understand, is he was one of the first individuals to understand the benefits of building with reinforced concrete. And he had more skyscrapers, so to speak, going up in El Paso in the early 1900s than there were in New York City, all because of his appreciation of how to use reinforced concrete and that structural event.
Well, and the factor on that was, one, being fireproof, and secondly, we didn't have much lumber here, and lumber was expensive right. even back at that time.
And adobe doesn't stack up above floor three very well. Yeah. Third floor, you start wobbling.
It starts melting, yes.
Too heavy.
Yeah.
Too heavy.
Yeah.
And, of course, and they probably could have done something with adobe if they'd used the structural steel in it, but obviously yeah. it wasn't a little different.
Yes, we have our brand-new steel and adobe skyscraper.
Yes.
I think that would be right. a first, and JP, I think it'd be a last, actually.
Yeah.
Interesting history there. The El Paso history that we have was sort of laid down there in the early 1900s and sort of forgotten, is the way
yeah.
it seems to me. I grew up here as a kid. I mean, I was born here. I went downtown shopping with my dad. I had no idea I was walking through historic places. I just thought it was Penny's and Newberry's, you know.
Right.
And they were in fancy old buildings. That's amazing stuff.
Well, you know, let me say this, Jackson. What I'm very interested in historical preservation, but not just for the sake of seeing that some old building survives. Because it's much more than just saving maybe an important and beautiful architectural rendering. Those buildings house people, and within those buildings, incredible history was made. And, you know, you have an issue there going on, which I understand has political implications or repercussions in the Duranguito. But that is a classical example of what happens when we, and I say all of us should take blame for it, is ignoring the importance of the historical structures in our cities. Houston, the city I grew up in large measure, totally ignored its historical past, and it now has nothing to show for it. And it just leaves a tremendous void in that city. Galveston, fortunately, has saved a lot where I have a museum. Still has a lot of Victorian homes and structures there, and they're beautiful, and they get much attention. But the question that these buildings beg is, well, why are they worth preserving? And the answer is very simple. It is good business to do so, because the fastest growing industry in the state of Texas today is heritage tourism. Heritage tourism do all the things that you want to have happen in a business community. They spend more money. They stay in the better hotels. They eat at the more expensive restaurants, and they are respecters of your city. They come there and pay homage to what the historical structures are, and they bring a wonderful presence to your community. And here sits El Paso, with probably the greatest collection of historical assets of any city in the United States. And that is in spite of the fact that its actual history as a separate city didn't really begin until 1827, when the Ponce de Leon Ranch was started right there in the middle of the Duranguito.
Yeah.
And so if you look at the various buildings, and I think the Duranguito is a real nice example of what to talk about when you're considering historical preservation. There are at least 8 buildings in that area that were selected for placement on the National Register of Historic Places. Now, that's very impressive in that small part of downtown. And when you look at the buildings and you see the kind of individuals or what was housed there, for example, the Chinese Laundry, the whole story of that many people don't understand or appreciate, that the Chinese built the Southern Pacific Railroad from California to where they drove their Golden Spike at Langtree. And they settled in that community. The largest Chinese community in Texas was in El Paso.
Yeah.
And that laundry is the last surviving Chinese building in the West, other than California.
Makes you wonder why we need to tear all that down, don't you?
Well, of course. I mean, it shouldn't be a question of, you know, somebody's, you know, evil and somebody's good in this whole process. It should be just a sensible look by all of the people in the community saying, what do we have here that's of real importance that other people would want to come see and enjoy that would bring real prosperity, a lasting prosperity to our city? And so rather than destroy it, let's see if we can't preserve it. for a good purpose. Now, people say, oh, well, how do you know anything about that? Well, I've had experience restoring historical buildings, and my wife and I restored a hotel in Marathon, Texas, called the Gage Hotel. We went through a lot of hand-wringing before we did that because we didn't, frankly, have the finances to afford something of that magnitude. But we carried on with it for years. And, you know, we didn't just restore a building. We actually saved the soul of a community.
Yes.
And I can see the impact. We are now the largest employer in that entire community, and every building on the street has now been restored.
J.P. Every Bryan. Building. This is J.P. Bryan we're talking with, and he knows what he's talking about. He has put his money where his mouth is.
Yes, he has.
And we thank him for now talking about El Paso. So there. J.P., it's our moment here to take a trivia question break here.
Sure.
Put yourself on hold. Listen up. We're going to talk about. Are we going to talk about the Trost people a little bit, Melissa?
Well,
sure,
I'm going to switch our questions around here because I realize I put the questions in the wrong place.
All right, JP. Here comes some trivia. We're giving away Pepe's food. And next time you're in town, JP, let me know. We'll take you to Pepe's.
It's greatest New Mexican food you'll ever.
It
have.
Is authentic. These are recipes from decades ago, and they still taste great. So there. And by the way, we're going to pick a special today. Shall it be? What special for Pepe should we do today? How about the rolled tacos?
The rolled tacos.
Rolled tacos are always good. And what happens
there,
you take about a $10 plate and you get it for $6. That's the Oñate special today. And by the way, that restaurant sits on what was or is the Camino Real. So there, people. All right, we're going to get back to JP in a moment. In the meantime, we have a question for our audience. I'll put you on hold, JP. You'll still hear us. And so the thing about the question is, what do you got that... we can ask people today.
This is an easy one. They're going to get this one. What is the name of the hotel that Henry Trost designed in Marathon, Texas?
Oh, do we have a question there that we can answer?
Yeah, they should be able to answer that one.
We happen to know the guy who restored it. He's sitting there on hold right now.
That's right.
Okay, and if you answer that, you get one of these things here.
You get a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo or an El Paso Gold DVD, Tom Lee's El Paso. We've got Mexican Revolution sites, Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4. You've got Gunfights of the Old West.
And your question again was?
What was the name of the hotel that Henry Trost designed in Marathon, Texas?
That's it. Call us up if you want to win that.
At 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
You make a good living, but your money is slashed by taxes every step of the way. 25% to 35% income tax, 15% Social Security tax, 8.5% sales tax, property, gasoline, corporate gains, and we're just getting started. If your income is $100,000 or more a year, every dollar you make is cut by about 50%. Bill Linderman here, El Paso's old-fashioned finance dude. One tax you shouldn't pay is tax on your retirement. On an InTouch financial plan, you'll have non-taxable growth on your wealth. I can show you in writing, guarantee, how you can grow your retirement without getting slashed by the tax man. Call me to learn how you can grow your wealth without risk or taxation at 915-595-2752. That's 915-595-2752. Or on the interwebs at keepingintouchfinancial.com. InTouch Financial, keeping the tax man's hands off your retirement and you in touch with your money.
This is Steven Tyler. When I wrote Janie's Got a Gun, I was amazed by the outpouring of love from fans. And I wanted to do more. That calling led me to start Janie's Fund. Janie's Fund supports proven programs for restoring lives rocked by abuse, conducted by national nonprofit Youth Villages. If someone you know is suffering from abuse, call the National Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. Lend your voice and your support by visiting janiesfund.org today.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, trivia time. We're going to tell you a couple of things in the meantime. There's a history lesson you need to know about the Harvey Girls of El Paso, meeting Monday, May the 8th. That's the next Monday we have is the 8th, right? Yeah, I didn't get this wrong.
They're
downtown 2 to 4 p.m. at the Union Passenger Station. Talk to them. It's about the timeline of Fred Harvey's legacy. 591-2326 on info there. Southwest Chapter, Railroad Locomotive History Society, meeting Wednesday, May 10th at the Lutheran Church. That is a dinner. Costs $10. Transporting the military on the railways. That's that deal. 540-9660 on that one. Genealogical Society's meeting and the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. Call up Patricia. She knows how to find these people. 591-2326.
And what we've got coming up is the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. The El Paso Rio Grande chapter will meet Friday, May 12th at the Greenery in the Sunland Park Mall. And this is the memorial service and installation of officers, and visitors are welcome. Give them a call at 760-5775. And then the El Paso Corral of the Westerners is having another meeting May 18th at the Country Inn and Suites at Sunland Park Drive. And this program this time is the Westering Family from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Los Angeles. And that's going to be given by Joe Tice Bloom. And the program and dinner cost is only $20. Again, visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP to 759-9538 by May 15th. The others will go into some other. That's way at the end of the month. So be it.
And also, we got J.P. Bryant still on hold. We got a couple of callers on hold. They're both named Rick.
Rick? Oh, my gosh.
You think I should go
Twins.
You think I should go to Rick first?
Let's go to Rick first.
All right. Hey, Rick, we got you on the radio here. Good morning. Which Rick is this?
I'm told I'm the first one who called in.
There you are.
He's numero uno.
We would go in order. So, Mr. Rick, we have a question for you. Melissa, you ready?
Yes. What was the name of the hotel that Henry Trost designed in Marathon, Texas?
We're trying to give this stuff away. Have you noticed there, Rick?
Yeah, I kind of figured that out.
All right, what do you think on that one?
Oh, the Gage Hotel.
Oh, he's so smart.
Yes, indeed.
That's why he's number one.
Number one. Number one, Rick wins a prize. Would you like the Pepe's $20? Got yourself a DVD choice here. Pick one.
Well, my DVD player is still busted, so I need the...
Pepe's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pepe's for Rick. Rick on line five. Pepe's for Rick. There you go. Now, hold on. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, that's it.
Fair enough. Hold on.
Thanks
there.
Thanks for listening, Rick.
Shelly will show up and tell you how to pick that up. Oh, look. Here's another caller. Do you have another question?
Yes, I do.
This guy's name is it's Rick. Hey,
it's
Rick. How's it going?
Good morning. I love you all. I bless you all.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you,
Mr. Bryant. And Jackson and beautiful lady, you're blessing. God bless you all.
This Rick's now number one.
We don't even have to ask a question. We're just going to give you the prize, Rick. we should ask. You have a question? If you have a question for him?
Yeah, I do. What famous El Paso department store did Henry Trost design?
A department store?
Yeah.
But it wasn't one of the tall ones?
No, it was. Well, yes, it was. It's kind of named after a famous building in Washington, D.C., so that would be a good hint.
I don't know this one.
I do.
This is something that Trost designed?
Yeah.
We got to give this guy a prize anyway.
Yeah, we'll give him one anyway. But
okay, what do you think it is?
I remember going into, I have two answers. No, Crest or Newberry's. That's what.
Go ahead, tell him.
I'm going to tell him. It's the White House department store.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, we decided since your name is Rick, you get a prize anyway.
That's right.
We got a DVD here for you. Pick one.
Oh, I've always gone with the Waco Tanks one.
Okay, we still have that one today?
Oh, wait.
Is it in here?
I see. No, I may be blind too.
We didn't bring that one in, Doug.
Okay, then the gunfighters with the beautiful lady.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you.
And one of them is on the radio with us right now. So, All right, Rick, you got that figured out. I got a couple of prizes for a couple of Ricks. And thank you for playing, Senor. Hold on, all right?
I have a little comment.
Sure, please.
Yeah, about Duranguito. You know, this is what I'm seeing it is. The city, they give the money. They offer these people money. Money rules. You know, I love you, J.P. Bryant. You know, I know you're up there. You're in the high monies. Offer the owners of the... You got to buy out the city. Offer the owners and beat their price. That's, to me, what will work.
Like he needs another headache like that, J.P. does. Well, no, it's an idea. I mean, if you had too much money, you might do it, right?
If I had the money, I would offer the owners more money than what the city's doing just to make the city and then tell the owners here and keep their houses, and I would work it different. But if I had the money, that's what I would do.
All right, Rick for mayor. Thank you, Rick. Hold on now.
I love you.
Appreciate it. Hold on there.
Thanks for listening, Rick. I think the community itself needs to own these buildings because that's the only way you really appreciate your own town.
Well, I put JP on hold. I don't know if he's still listening during the break here. Hey, JP, you still with us? You got a comment on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I really do. I think it's, first of all, people say, well, this is a political issue. Well, sure, it's a political issue. Because it's only political, though, because to do meaningful historical preservation, the city fathers, the people that are leading your city, have to see the value in historical preservation.
Exactly.
And be proponents for it. And it should be something that would be easy to recognize, especially if you have a love for our history. But if you see the value that it brings to your community, I mean, these old historic buildings bring symmetry and beauty to the community, as opposed to these square boxes that we're building in replacement of them all.
Yeah.
So they're uplifting.
We've talked about this privately, JP. It seems to me that what we need is a mayor and council who thinks history is important.
Sure. And look, as I said earlier, these buildings are not just, something of concrete. People lived in them, and they made the history. For example, I'll just point out one, and we'll move on maybe to something else.
Oh, but I got to take a break, but go ahead, yeah.
Okay, well, on Overland Avenue, that building is in the Duranguita, and it was recommended for register. It was Juan Hart's home. He founder of the El Paso Daily Times. F.J. McFarland lived there. He was a bartender at the Wigwam Saloon where John Selman was gunned down in 1896. He was the guy that killed John Wesley Hardin. It was occupied by the attorney Michael Dolan, who negotiated Pancho Villa's surrender to the Mexican government in 1920. John O'Keefe, who was the first editor to the Prospector, which is a future UTEP, grew up there, and it was converted to a grocery in 24, and now it's a thriving art studio. So, I mean, that is the importance of saving these structures. It's a history that goes with them.
We have other places where a multipurpose arena would go. But somehow we have a fight here on our hands, and I thank you for what you're saying. J.P. Bryant on the phone here. We're going to put you on hold for another second. Come back and talk more about things, all right?
Sure.
All right, hold on there. We're going to take a break here, and what else do we need to know, Melissa?
Well, I just say, listen to how excited he is
yeah.
about our history. He's not from here.
He understands it.
But he is excited. And that's what we keep trying to say to everybody is you'd be bringing people in from the area that just go, wow.
Well, I'll just say this. The short-sighted politicians who think today's vote is going to make them happy, in 10 years, your name will be mud.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Yeah, all right. Call us up if you think you can join in. In the meantime, we got J.P. Bryant on here this hour. And next hour, we got Max Grossman's coming in
and
with
Melissa
Grossman.
Yep.
And the idea there is to talk about Trost,
mm-hmm.
which may lead us to Duranguito.
You never know how that goes.
But Facebook us as well, right?
Yes, you can go on to Facebook. I just put a picture up again of J.P. Bryant, and his museum down in Galveston, so you can see the great work he did there, as well as the great work he did on restoring the Gage, which is a Trost design building down in Marathon, Texas.
Stuff going on
everywhere.
And if
you ever get a chance, go down there. It's a great hotel to stay in.
Here we go. Taking a break here, 544.
5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hi, this is Amy Keith with FlipCheapHouses.com. Our company specializes in teaching beginners how to invest in real estate with little to no financial risk. Are you determined to succeed and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to work one-on-one with a professional real estate investor for 12 months? Are you motivated and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to start a business now? With our help, in as little as 2 weeks, you can start putting deals together flipping cheap houses. Are you ambitious and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to get a side business started for additional income? If you can give us 10 hours a week, we can show you how to flip cheap houses. If you are a beginner and want to learn how to flip cheap houses, then help me help you. Go to our website at help2017.com and watch our free webinar. That's help2017.com to watch our free webinar. help2017.com.
When was the last time you walked out of a mattress store feeling confident about your purchase? These places exist for one reason: for a highly trained, commission-driven salesperson to dupe you into spending way too much money on a mattress. Hi, my name is Neil, and I'm one of the co-founders of Casper. Casper was created with a single goal in mind: deliver a great night's sleep at an incredible value. So we hired a team of engineers and designers to develop a single perfect mattress that sleeps cool and has just the right sink and bounce. We sell the Casper mattress online, skipping the markups of mattress stores, and we let you try it out in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. In less than 3 years, we've rapidly become the internet's favorite mattress. In fact, it now has more than 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars. Try us out today. Simply go to Casper.com and use code MEDIA to get $50 towards your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. That's gift code MEDIA at Casper.com for $50 towards your mattress purchase. Casper.com. Thanks for checking us out.
Go to EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to EPHistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here, got J.P. Bryan on hold. Melissa Sargent is sitting there.
I'm sitting here.
There you are. I tell you a couple things real quick here. EPISD, we talk about how they don't teach El Paso history in the schools. Here's a lady doing it to the G&T kids, and it's after school.
Well,
so they're getting some
they're
of
getting
it done.
It.
Yeah, they are, but she's having a history fair, and she needs some help on judges. So that's why we're talking about this. She's doing this on an after-school Saturday event. Give her a call. It's Rosemarie Mendoza, 230-2375. And what she's looking for are judges for these contests where the kids bring in these history projects. So
that's really cool.
A worthy thing.
And tomorrow, from 1 p.m. till about 5 p.m. at the International Museum of Art, which is down on Montana and Brown Street, in the old Turney Mansion, which just happens to be a Trost Design
building.
Yes. Will be Six Guns and Shady Ladies helping the museum raise money to bring their elevator up to snuff.
Bring your elevator up to the first floor.
It's called Elevate. What is it? It's called Elevate Your Art.
Art.
Yes, and they're going to have several artists on hand painting and different programs for kids. You can buy art. They're going to have a silent auction, and it's going to be a great event. Six Guns Shade Ladies will probably be stealing a lot of art, so don't talk
about
that.
We just know that in advance, we can check you at
cars. But come out. They're going to have musical entertainment. 1 o'clock, come out, food, fun, all kinds of stuff. So come out and see us.
Very good. The J.P. Bryan is now on the radio in El Paso on the El Paso History Radio Show. Howdy.
There he is.
Well, you heard what we're saying here about all this trivia stuff. Where do you want to go? We've got about a good 10 minutes here to talk.
Well, I think what we ought to talk about is something that you were brushing over there in your last comments, and that's about teaching children history.
Yes.
I think it is one of the most important responsibilities that we have, and that is to teach them the incredible historical heritage they all share as citizens of the state of Texas, and what we have accomplished, or what thousands of heroes, both visible and invisible, have accomplished. These should be real sources of inspiration for them. At our museum, we decided that one of our big objectives is going to be historical outreach. It's not just that we want people to come to our museum and see the great history of the settlement of the West, which incidentally, we suggest ends with the end of the Mexican Revolution, which, as you know, had great impact on El Paso and that entire community throughout the 10 bloody years of that conflict. But we say at the end of that war, that was the end of the settlement of the West. And so that's the story we're trying to tell. And what we're doing now, we're just in the beginning stages of designing a virtual reality program where you can learn Texas history in a very exciting fashion, where students will no longer respond when asked, "What do you think of history?" "Oh, it's boring." we want them to say it's high adventure, and it's exciting stuff, and I love it, because it's only from history that they're going to learn how to live and learn, or learn and live. And we want them to learn and live by the history of those who did things properly and by those who made mistakes that they don't want to repeat.
Perfect.
And appreciate your own surroundings, where you grew up. I mean, the history in El Paso is so thick here, it's kind of hard to understand. In fact, JP, I think one of the problems we have here in the historian community in El Paso is that there's so much and so many layers, there's not just one thing. We don't have just an Alamo, which is kind of like what San Antonio built their whole reputation on. We have nine Alamos here, you know, and we have the missions before the Alamos. We have, as you mentioned, the Mexican Revolution, on and on and on. And if someone like yourself looks at us and says, "What are you people doing with your buildings?" That's where I remember you coming on the stage here.
Sure. Well, I actually came on the stage a lot sooner than that, you know, in my association with various historical organizations. But when I was trying to populate the Gage Hotel with artifacts, I came to El Paso regularly and prowled around the shops there in order to find suitable items to put in our buildings there. But, you know, it does. It has an incredibly varied history. It's probably one of the most colorful histories of any region in the entire state of Texas. And because so many elements touched it in such dramatic fashion. And it's an exciting history, and it needs to be told and for what it is. And it should inspire people. You think about all the elements, how early it began, and all of the other parts of it, the prospecting in Mexico and the trains and all the intrigue between Mexico and the United States and revolution.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's exciting stuff. And, you know, I'll bet you more than half the population of El Paso have not walked across the river to look at the Mexican Revolution Museum, which is a fabulous building.
It's
a wonderful, houses a wonderful collection of photographs and other items related to that conflict.
Well, a lot of that happened in El Paso for the training of people, but also the planning. All of the planning that the Mexican revolutionaries did, they got out of Mexico to do that. And where they got out of Mexico to go to was El Paso.
Right in downtown El Paso.
And you had all the merchants here selling them their arms, their ammunition, their all kinds of weapons beyond that, and their clothing, their uniforms, food, whatever. And Pancho would show up with a train full of gold. And he told one, you probably know this story, he told one guy, "How much do you want? Go take what you need out of the gold car." It's an honor system here, huh? Gee, but so you're right, the history's rich here. And then we get to the building stock that I know interests you. And we have standing some of the best stuff that there ever was built, even still. You know?
Well, Prost, you know, is an incredibly gifted man, and unfortunately, probably because, honestly, where he resided, he's gotten so little recognition.
Yeah.
But he was one of the most skilled architects ever. And when you look at people like Frank Lloyd Wright, who was a compatriot of his, he actually worked with his firm in Chicago as a young man. Well, they were both young men at that particular time. But you would not hear of anybody tearing down a Frank Lloyd Wright home.
Oh, Lord, no.
No.
And there, in downtown El Paso, there were 39 structures, beautiful structures, built by him. 10 of those have already succumbed to the wrecking ball. And two of them were fabulously beautiful buildings, the Union Bank and the Muir Building. You know what they are now?
Yeah.
They're parking lots.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know what the promises were? We got something great coming. Just watch this space. And we're 3 years later, JP. We're still watching it. You know.
Yeah.
And it would be nice also to see a school like you have out in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is a Frank Lloyd Wright school.
Yeah.
Of architecture.
There could be a Trost school here pretty
easily.
And it could be in a Trost building without too much trouble. I mean, we mentioned the El Paso Museum of the International Museum of Art, which was originally a Trost home. And by the way, I want to point out that we have people who help us with this radio show on Facebook, Barbara Given Bainey. She last week went and found pictures of that building prior to it becoming the museum, International Museum of Art, because they had to fill up the wings of the property with these huge art galleries. And so we want to thank Barbara for putting that up. She put that up last week. And that's just it, JP. We've got quite a few architectural troves of pictures here, which are fun to go through and look at. But what most people don't get is the real thing standing there. And, good.
And what's wonderful about them is they stand in such interesting juxtaposition to the more modern structures. You can just sit there and look at one and look at the other and say, which one do you like? Which one do you enjoy looking at the most?
And,
just that thing. And I mean, they're so edifying and appealing to the soul.
And unlike a library where you go in and look at the pictures, you can actually walk in these buildings. And the Bassett Tower's being redone right now, as you know. So,
All right,
JP, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back and ask you to give advice on El Paso on what can and should we do about our history. I think you probably have some good ideas. All right, we're going to take a break here and come back in just a moment. Sergio, hit the button, dude.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
I had like memory foams, I had feather pillows, and I'd always wake up with neck pain. After sleeping in my pillow, I didn't wake up with the headaches, I was more aligned.
I didn't realize the connection between the pillow and sleep. When I switched to my pillow, I got a better night's sleep, and I love it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, and it holds that support all night long to take the pressure off your shoulders and keep your neck aligned so you get the best night's sleep of your life.
MyPillow is machine washable and dryable and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an amazing 10-year warranty. Plus, every MyPillow is made in the USA.
I personally guarantee that MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART. That's 50% off, plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Where's that song that I like?
Let me find it, all right? Just keep your eyes on the road.
Okay, cool. I have to text John back anyway.
Can you, like, text him later, you know, when you're not driving?
Come on, I do this all the time.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Dude, look out!
You're right.
You think?
Here, take my phone.
Traffic collisions are a leading cause of death globally. Distracted driving only makes it worse. Don't text, tweet, or email, and let your passengers figure out the music. Pledge your commitment to safe driving at togetherforsaferroads.org/pledge. Brought to you by Together for Safer Roads, companies driven to save lives.
Little Caesars, where you can experience a meat lover's paradise with the half and half. A large deep dish pizza with pepperoni on one half and a 3-meat treat on the other. All for $9. It's hot and ready every day from 4 to 8 p.m. at Little Caesars. Plus tax at participating locations.
thing.
Easy.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. The easiest way to get what you want. Listen to your favorite radio station from anywhere. Hear a song on the radio you love? Just tap and instantly download it to your phone. That's easy.
This is Angus Young from AC/DC on iHeartRadio.
Plus, creating playlists. Also easy. iHeartRadio. The easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app now.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here with Melissa and a guy named JP on the phone on the radio. Good morning, JP. Brian, one more time.
Yes, sir.
Well,
right here.
Thank you for doing what you do. Now tell us what you think we need to do here in El Paso. You've looked at what we got here. You've been around us for quite a while. You're an East Texan kind of guy who knows the history of the state of Texas quite well. And you've decided to do something about it by creating a museum in Galveston that pretty much summarizes how Texas was settled. Is that the point?
Yes, not only the settlement of Texas, but the settlement of the western part of the United States. Because it's a complete story. It's not a segmented event that's just Texas or just California or New Mexico, Arizona. It's the whole compilation of history that was forged over some 400 years, beginning in 1528 until 1920, which is like almost no other history in the entire world, in the sense of all the unique and incredible things that occurred during that time period and on that landscape.
We got about 3 minutes. What do you think El Paso should do about our history?
Okay, quickly. I think as far as your history goes, I think there needs to be a better effort at history, teaching the history in the schools and programs put together that make history exciting for children. But what I think you need to do specifically about the historical assets you've got, which are incredible, or first of all, start a process for identifying all the trust buildings and other significant architectural assets. Then establish a procedure to protect them from destruction. And the established trust tours for visitors to the city, they can go on a bus ride and with a tour leader and see the buildings and experience their beauty and uniqueness. Then you need to establish a plan for bringing architects from around the world to see classical architecture, which is what Trost specialized in. And there are people who really love classical architecture, which was his real strength, and there's very little classical architecture being done anymore. So these are some of the last examples of wonderful classical architecture in any city in the United States.
In El Paso.
In El Paso. Unbelievable. I mean, the city is, you know, it looks like they almost want to try to ignore the treasure that's sitting right there in front of them.
I like that's what Las Cruces did. They blew away their inner core. They're sad about that. Tucson, Arizona did the same thing. And so we're hearing from examples, and yet the current crowd here seems to think, well, it's old stuff. Let's just get rid of it. And that's the wrong attitude.
Absolutely. It's just good business. If you restore these things, it will rejuvenate the economy in a way that you will not believe. And you need to get the Trost Society. They need to take the leadership in sponsoring like a Trost Week where people celebrate the presence of this man in the community and what he has done for all the citizens of El Paso, and get people interested in what he has left there as part of his historical heritage to the gift to the city.
Well, you create a great lead-in for our next hour after the news coming up here. We've got Max Grossman and Melissa Grossman coming in to help explain what they are doing for Preservation Month from the Texas Trust Society. So, well, JP, we got about
Which
one
JP
more minute.
Has helped with.
Well, JP, you're on the board of that. I know you're in the middle of that as well. But tell us one more minute's worth of things we need to know.
Well, I think you need to know that we're going to have, from our museum, we're developing a virtual reality way to teach history. and we want to get it in schools across the state of Texas. And we obviously, because of my interest in El Paso and the Gage Hotel and that area part of the world, we would like to see if we can attract an audience in El Paso to begin to use a virtual history lesson as a way to foster and promote the history of the great state of Texas and the settlement of the West.
Is it possible that you're going to teach Texas history, all Texas history, to all Texans?
That's the objective. We want to take the museum to them. They don't necessarily have to come to us.
Let us know, and we'll help you any way we can. I think that's a great thing.
Sign us up, dude.
We're on board.
J.P. Bryan, the man of the hour, thank you kindly for what you do for history in Texas and specifically for what you have done and what you got planned for El Paso. J.P. Bryan, thank you much. And the Bryan Museum is open today, right?
Oh, yeah. We're open. I'm getting ready to go there right now.
Fair enough.
Get down there and see that museum. You will be duly impressed.
J.P., thanks a lot. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Good. Take care.
Thank you all.
The J.P. Bryan on the phone there, a man of history, a man in history, still doing things.
Yes, and he's continuing. And he has a great museum. If you get down to Galveston, make sure you go see it.
He understands El Paso history.
Oh, I know.
And
lovely.
You heard what he said.
That's
keep
right.
It. Save it. Sell it. See you back after the news.
Bye.
Max Grossman coming in next. Thank you.
And
take
Melissa.
Care.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.